Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. We have a few questions. Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit asked if there were, did I ever give something I hated it? So I thought it was a good question because I don't often give things I hated it. So I decided to go through, since I started tracking this information. And, man, I didn't start tracking until, holy macro, I don't even know what year it is because I didn't put a date. But it was somewhere around 2012 or 2013. I started tracking it. Not even for this. I just started tracking it for just personal reasons because I wanted to see how things rated. I think at the time, I was trying to cut back, believe it or not. And I wanted to see how things ranked. But I ended up getting more and more and more. So we're going to search for 1 out of 5s. So going back to 2013, how many are there? So the first one was in 2014. And that I gave Sovereign number 1 a 1 out of 5. So I think that's an Image book. I didn't put notes back then. That started, you know, roughly within the last 2 years. Sovereign. Yeah, it was Image. It was Chris Robertson and Paul Mayberry, and I really didn't like it. So the description of it in the database says an epic fantasy in the tradition of Game of Thrones is a world in which once new gods, demons, and magic, to which all three are returning. New York Times bestseller joins Paul Mayberry to tell a story of masked undertakers facing the undead with swords, civil wars. The description sounds great, but for some reason I hated it. And that same month, I had a 2 out of 5, which is sort of unusual, which was Lost Vegas. I don't even remember what that is either. Lost Vegas. And that was an Image book, and I didn't like it. But I think it grew on me because I did continue reading it. But that was number one that I said I didn't like it. So I was curious about that. So let's continue on the search. 1 out of 5. What do we got here? The next time we had one was in October of 2016. And this one I do remember. And I really didn't like it. It was an annual. And it was all new, all different Avengers annual. And it was a weird fan fiction Miss Marvel issue, and I just hated it. So there's another one. That was a Marvel. So we have one Image, one Marvel. And let's search again. What else did I hate? This is probably one that's not going to surprise somebody. In January of 2017, I read Batman number 14, which was the Tom King Batman, and I put a note there, worst dialogue I have ever read in recent history. So let's see if there's any more. That's 3 in about since 2012, and there's no more. So there's only 3 books found. So there are some books that I hated. Drew, and you kind of said something about me not liking Tom King in your comment. Yeah, I have trouble with his writing personally, but that's just he's hitting notes that I just don't like, and it's usually repetition in the dialogue. It's not the plot at all. I like his plots. So I hope that answers your question. The other question, I was listening to a Nerdy Legion, I think it was 4 episodes or so ago, and Nick said that he likes listening to this podcast, but he didn't know why I was feeling in holes. Like I said, I was getting Flash XXX. Why I'm, you know, he wants to know why I'm getting it. But he knew the answer. He said in there, is it because I think it's because he's filling in holes, and that's like 90% of the answer. Usually it's, I go down a rabbit hole, like let's just say right now I'm in Avengers and Fantastic Four rabbit hole, and I'll go down that and I'll just start filling holes, because my objective is to have all the back issues of all the titles I love. So, and that means everything. So if I get the opportunity to buy old issues, I will. So having said that, there was an opportunity for me to, I made another purchase from AM Comic Sales, which is Aaron Myers again on Facebook. He came across a collection from a retired person that wanted, I guess, to get rid of his books. And Aaron bought, I think Aaron, I don't know the whole truth. I want to know the truth, and I want to ask him questions. I love to get him on Mike M's Collector's Corner, just because he's a fascinating collector. But I think what he did is he bought this collection for X amount of dollars. It was a good collection. It had like cream of the crop books. It's almost like that collection I ran across at the shop maybe 2 years ago, where I was just filling in holes. I got giant size X-Men. I got all these key books at a fantastic price. So I think Aaron got a collection like this. And what he probably did is he keeps what he wants to fill holes is like I do, and then says, oh, do I have a dupe? And then he probably says, well, do I have a dupe? I'll take whichever one I have that's in better condition and keep that one, and then sell the one that's in worse condition. Well, during this collection, there were several FF and Avengers books that I found that I wanted to get that were either VG or fine. And that's usually the lowest I'll go, is like a VG or fine. And these ones are in really good shape. There's a couple of ones that had some discolor on it, but other than that, they're fairly good shape for me, for my criteria. And I got a Fantastic Four 33. This is, it has Submariner on the cover, and I believe it's the first appearance of Atuma. It's not a Toma on the Namor villains. And it's a really nice cover. It has Namor and the FF jumping towards a Toma. And then we have Fantastic Four 34. I'm going to bring up the database in case there's anything that stands up while I'm going through these. So it's thinking he's on FF. Okay, now we're going to use edit, jump to 34. And then it takes me right there, gives me the cover. And this is the first appearance of Thomas Gideon. I don't even know who that is, but later becomes Glorian. Not a big deal. I don't think that person. But this one on 34 has friend against friend, brother against sister. If you always thought it could never happen, you can't afford to miss a house divided. So that Gideon guy is obviously like a kingpin. He looks like a bald guy in a chair. He's sitting there watching the family fight. We then jump to another book that I got. So I'll jump to 57. And 57 is a versus Doctor Doom, versus Sandman, and versus the Wizard. So this is a pretty cool cover. It's got a Dr. Doom head and the FF around it. It looks like it has Silver Surfer there. And I believe the character that's just dressed as a normal civilian is Wyatt Wingfoot. But it says, enter Dr. Doom, undeniably the world's greatest arch-villain, and don't dare miss our swinging super-duper guest stars. So that's 57. We then jumped to 59, and that's also versus Doctor Doom. And this is, I was surprised I didn't have this one because it is it has a Black Bolt on the cover, and I tried to get all of the Inhumans because I love the Inhumans FF books. The only one that I'm missing, and I've been trying to win for what I want to pay for it, is the first appearance of Medusa. And once I have that, then I have all the appearances. But this one has a great Black Bolt on the cover, and it says, "In this earth-shaking issue, the Inhumans break free." And it's got Doomsday. We then have Fantastic Four number 60, which is also versus Doctor Doom. So there's a lot of Doctor Doom issues in this early run here. And it's The Peril of Power, and it has Doctor Doom and the Thing duking it out, fist to fist. But it does look like Doctor Doom has this weird glow about him, like there's some energy spike around him that's drawn. And it has Reed grabbing a hold of a rock and saving Sue from falling, and the Human Torch is just flaming on, flying. The next one we have is 64. And this is the first appearance of the Supreme Intelligence. And it's also the first appearance of the Kree Sentry. So I think I just read a book recently with the Kree Sentry, and it was a Captain Marvel book. So this might be his first appearance. So that's pretty cool. It's always good to get a first appearances. I mean, that's usually what I look for when I'm looking to fill the holes, because first appearances don't usually go down, so it's better to get them cheaper than later. And the next one I have is 68, which this is a cool cover because it's got Ben Grimm captured in some kind of mechanical device. And it says, his mission, destroy the Fantastic Four. And then it's got Sue, Reed, Johnny, and Crystal in the background. Crystal and Johnny are in civilian clothes, and they're kind of watching in startle. You know, they're startled by seeing the thing trapped in this device. And Ben Grimm has this crazy look on his face like, what has got me? The next issue we have is 69, dude. And this is the first appearance of the awesome android. Oh, by the way, the previous one was the first appearance of Dr. Santini. And I don't even know who that is. This one has the FF. They're on a building, and it looks like fantastic that Johnny is firing fire at Ben Grimm, and Reed is like hanging outside of a window as planes go by. It's a very strange cover. Like I said, this is the first appearance of the awesome android. And it says versus the Mad Thinker in both 68 and 69. The next one we got is Fantastic Four 71. And that's also says versus the Mad Thinker. And this one looks like there's some kind of android. I don't think it's a super adaptoid, but it looks like an android of some sort. And it's got four quadrants. One quadrant he's fighting Invisible Girl, and one quadrant he's fighting Ben Grimm, and one quadrant he's fighting Reed, and then the other one he's fighting the Torch. And it says sizzling big action issue right in the center. We then jump to 72, which has a really cool surfer, Silver Surfer. It has the Watcher in the background. There's Kirby Crackle everywhere. And it says, where soars the Silver Surfer? That Surfer's right center. I then also bought Fantastic Four 79, which is the first appearance of the Android Man. And this cover is awesome, Kirby. It has it looks like what it has is Ben Grimm, like, morphing into the thing. And it has some cops in the background, a girl that looks really startled, and he's fighting some guy in the foreground, which you can only see his back. And it says, versus the first appearance of the Android Man. So, cool stuff there. And then we get into the next issue that I got is 91. It's a 15-cent issue. Everything before that was 12 cents. So you get to 91, and that's the first appearance of Torgo. And this one is one of my favorite covers because I love the ones that have Ben Grimm on the center. This one has a bunch of gangsters with Tommy guns. And they're pointing them at Ben Grimm, and it looks like they have him in chains with some kind of, like, neck device. And it's chained to one of his ankles. So that's really cool. It's number 91, first appearance of Torgo. The next one we got is 93. And that says versus Torgo 2, so it must be a story arc. And it says the Arena of Death and has a bunch of guys watching the thing fight this character, which might be Torgo. And he looks like he's beating the thing. And then they're like in a Colosseum. And you know how Caesar or any of those Roman people would look, as the gladiators fought, they'd look up to Caesar or whoever, and he'd give a thumbs down or a thumbs up. And all these gangsters are saying thumbs down, like, go ahead and kill him. And it says the Arena of Death. So the next one I procured is 94. This one's a kind of a cool issue because it has the Sandman. It doesn't look like the Sandman, but I think that's him. It's got the Wizard. It's the Frightful Four, Medusa, and Paste Pot Pete fighting the FF. And it looks like there's a haunted mansion in the background. But this is this is kind of a cool first appearance. This is the first appearance of Agatha Harkness. And what I know her from is she used to take care of Scarlet Witch and Vision, if I remember correctly. So as we move on, we go to 95. And this is the first appearance of the Monocle. And Crystal returns to the Inhumans. And it just has Reed wrapped around Sue like he's saving her from something. Ben Grimm is falling from the sky. It looks like they're all falling out of the Fantastic Four car. And it says, if the FF fails, it means World War III. Nice cover. This one is one of the first appearances of something, but it's not a character. I also bought a really, really nice copy of Coyote number 11. Okay. What is this? This is a Marvel Epic comic. And what makes this... I have no issues of Coyote except for this now. And this is a first appearance of something, but it's not a character. It's the first drawn comic by Todd McFarlane. I had mentioned earlier when I acquired Arrak, it had one of the first pinups by Todd McFarlane, which I think is his first work in Arrak, Son of Thunder, which is a DC comic. But this is his first interiors, I believe. And I looked through it, and it really is not the whole book. It's divided into two stories. The first story has art by somebody else. The second story has the Todd McFarlane art. And to be honest with you, I can barely see traces of the Todd McFarlane I know. And that's strange because when I saw the Arrak pinup, I could see Todd McFarlane there. But these sequentials, you really, really can't tell. There's maybe one or two panels where you see glimpses of his style. But it is unique, and it's a great first appearance to have because he's such an iconic artist within the that contributed to the world of comics. So now we're gonna the other rabbit hole I went down to try to fill, and I'm getting close to filling these comics, by the way. Soon I will have full runs of these over time. So my earliest Avengers is number 5, but I didn't get that. And I concentrated a lot of first appearances of Avengers, although I don't have the first appearance of Kang, which is number 8. I have the first appearance of Wonder Man. And I really do want the first appearance of Hercules, which is number 10, but I don't have that. So let's start off where I started getting this. 13 would be interesting too. I didn't buy that, but it's the first appearance of Count Nefaria. And why he's important is he killed Thunderbird, and it was one of the first X-Men books that made that book just start getting people started getting excited about the X-Men again with Claremont. So what did I procure? I procured number 42. Is there anything interesting about this one? Other than there being like some Fantastic Four appearances in it, it's the second appearance of Colonel Ling, and it's versus Diablo. And we also have a Dragon Man appearance. And I guess this is important. Captain America rejoins the Avengers. And then it has the Mr. Fantastic and Thing cameo. And on the cover, it has Goliath, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, and Hawkeye. Except Goliath has Hawkeye in like a clutch hold around his collar. Like he's holding him up in the air. And it says the plan and the power. And it looks like Baron Mordo. I can't make out who's knocking Quicksilver out. I really can't. But it looks like Doctor Strange's villain. And in the corner it says, and in this corner, Hercules versus the deadly Dragon Man. I love me some Hercules. The next one I have, I bought is 43, which is the first appearance of General Yuri Brushov, which is, I believe, one of the Russian generals, but it's also the first appearance of Red Guardian 1, which is Alexei Shostanov. So, for some reason, it says it's got Edwin Jarvis appearance off screen. So I don't know, like, if it's a key Jarvis appearance or what. But anyway, it's got the Red Guardian center stage, Hercules and Hawkeye in the background. And it says, destined to be the most talked about supervillain of the year. And wait till you learn his startling secret identity. And it's pointing to Red Guardian. It also has the floating faces. That seems to be a iconic cover when you have floating faces. It has the floating faces of Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, Wasp, Goliath, / Giant Man, and Captain America. The next one we have that I got is 44. This is the death of Red Guardian. So he lasted a whole issue, two issues. And this has a bunch of guys fighting the Avengers. And it even has a Black Widow on there with her old costume. Very interesting. And Cap is fighting the Red Guardian. But it looks like it's got like a bunch of like gang members. And these guys look really interesting. On the right hand side, there's a bunch of guys with these weird helmets on. And they're purple helmets with purple gloves, purple belt, purple crotch belt. And guns. And then the lower half that the Avengers are fighting, it's a bunch of guys that look like monks wearing like this weird tint of orange. So, it says, "Welcome to the wonderful world of Marvel Madness." It's a really busy cover of a fight scene. We then get to 61. So, 61 has on it, I don't know who Richard Pini is, but my database says it has a Richard Pini LOC, which is, I think, a letter in the letters column. And this one here has a cool cover because we have Doctor Strange, and he's in that garment when he had the mask so you can't see his face. We have the Black Knight where he's riding his winged horse, which is awesome. It looks like they're fighting a fire demon and an ice demon. Black Panther's on the cover, Vision's on the cover, followed along by Hawkeye. So, cool deal there. This one was an accident that, it wasn't an accident, but it was a surprise that it was a key appearance because this guy just appeared in Black Panther the movie. This is the first appearance of Manape, the first appearance of Wakabi, first appearance of Nanagamo. So that was a pleasant surprise. It's number 62 of the Mighty Avengers. Has Black Panther fighting Manape. The Monarch and the Manape is what it's called. And in like this weird smoke dust, it has Black Knight, Vision, and Hawkeye. We're almost done. I got Avengers 64. This is the Roy Thomas, John Buscema years. 64 is Roy Thomas and Gene Colan. This is the first appearance of Barney Barton. That's Hawkeye's brother. But it says the death of Barney Barton, too. And if you read Matt Fraction's version, you know he's not dead. It says Hawkeye's identity is revealed. But it's got two giant hands, and they look like some kind of cosmic hands, holding Goliath. This is where Goliath is Hawkeye. Hawkeye was, got the Pym particles and became Goliath at one time. Hank Pym became Yellowjacket. He's on the cover. And you have Black Panther, Vision, and the Wasp. And it says, "Like a death ray from the sky." And this is when the cover had the Mighty in front of it, the Mighty Avengers. This one here is the next one is 65. This one I had as a kid and traded it away. I remember it was in elementary school where my friend had his dad's suitcase of comics. And he had a lot of like key Silver Age. And back in the day, I would get them. The covers were very striking, but man, back then, I thought these stories sucked compared to like the 30-cent comics that were coming out. So I didn't know at the time what I was, reading, and I traded it away almost after I read it. But if I would have kept it, it would have been better. So this is Avengers number 65. It has the Swordsman Strikes. Got a really cool cover of the Swordsman hitting Goliath with his energy beamed sword. And it looks like he already defeated Black Panther, Vision, Wasp, and Yellowjacket. And 65 is the origin of Hawkeye, Clint Barton. We got 69, dude. I got 69 of Fantastic Four and Avengers. And this is a good key first appearance for me. And I didn't even know, coincidentally. I was just seeing what Aaron posted. And then I went to my database and I said, is that one I need to fill? And then I look at the grade he had marked down, and I was like, is that a grade that I'll accept? Because there were some that I skipped that were in a good range, and where they didn't look to my satisfaction. So this one is the key appearance of the Grandmaster, who's playing a big part right now in the Avengers No Surrender. But he's also, where I got to know him as a kid, was Contest of Champions.
And I freaking loved Contest of Champions. That was like my gateway event book when I was young, because it had every like Marvel superhero you could possibly imagine. And that's why I love No Surrender. No Surrender is now like a Contest of Champions of a group, the Black Order, the Avengers, and then there's another group that was put together, and they're all fighting to get these pyramid particle things. And the other thing it reminds me of is, because it has the Black Order, it's very, reminds me a little bit of the Hickman run. So it's like combining the Contest of Champions with that in this glorious event that has so many first appearances. It introduces the Grandmaster's daughter, and she was pretending to be a hero with the Avengers, like they retconned her in. It has a Kree Sentry that is its first appearance. It has the return of the Incredible Hulk. Just so much good stuff. But this particular issue that I'm talking about is the first appearance of not Grandmaster, but it's also the first appearance of one of my favorite characters. And I love the Defenders. And this is the first appearance of Nighthawk 2, Kyle Richmond. Full. And it's the first appearance of Nighthawk 2. That's a big deal to me, because I really love him, and I didn't know that was coming. The next one, 71, also another key appearance. It's the first appearance of the Invaders prototype. So, you know, the Invaders, Captain America, the Torch, Submariner has on there. And they're fighting Black Panther, Vision, and Yellow Jacket, and it says the final battle. So that's really cool. That's 71. And this also features Black Knight actually joining the Avengers. 73 is the next one, and this one's really important to me because I'm a big fan of the Defenders. And if you listen to Geek Brunch Retrocast, you'll know that we covered a key arc with these villains in it, and they were in Avengers, and it's the Sons of the Serpent, the racist group, like a bunch of little white supremacist Nazis, and the Avengers are fighting him, and Vision is saying whether he lives or whether he dies, the Panther fights alone, and he's fighting these guys. This one has, like, I need to read this very, very soon. This is the first appearance of a Monica Lynn. I don't know who that is. But it also has Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch returning to the ranks. Yellow Jacket and Wasp leave. And that's some good stuff right there. We then get to issue 75, which is the first appearance of Archon. And I know he's got that. He's like that shirtless barbarian with the lightning bolts. And so that's a cool one. And this is the last one. And it has Quicksilver running on it. And it has Goliath saying, grab Quicksilver. He's the only one who can stop the world from blowing up. How do you catch the world's fastest man? And then on the back, on the bottom, it has Scarlet Witch's head, and it says, at last, they're back. Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, and Scarlet Witch. I think this is their return to the Avengers, even though they appeared in the previous issue. And it's got Black Panther, Vision, Goliath, and Cap going after Quicksilver, because they have to catch him. So, thanks for putting up with my last procurement. I'll have another one coming. These are graded books from Comic Link. They should be here this week. And they're all Batman issues. There's only three of them, but they're Golden Age Batman issues. So I'll look forward to going over them with you. I want to thank Nick for the questions. And also, Comics for Fun and Profits, Drew. Check out Nerdy Legion with Nick.
That's a podcast you'll find on the Nerdy Legion Network with Martin Ferretti. And check out Drew's podcast, Comics for Fun and Profit. And thank you guys for the questions. And we'll talk to you very, very soon. We'll come back with what I read for some time last year. So we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Hello, and we're back for Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'm going to walk over and grab me a water real quick. But I just wanted to mention before I get into the reads that I went to the comic shop yesterday and I bought the first appearance of the Phantom Zone projector and the Phantom Zone. It also coincidentally is the first appearance of General Zod, even though it's a flashback. So that was a really cool pickup. It's not in the greatest shape. It's probably VG minus, but it was such a key book that I just had to get it. It's also pretty pricey, even in the even in that particular grade. It depends on what you call pricey, but I got a good deal on it, so I'm happy with it. And then I was there, and I was talking to the shop owner, and he was telling me how good Action Comics did for his store. He said he was going to order really cautiously because he normally sells 18 copies of Action Comics. That's not that much. And then he was really concerned because the price was like $7. So he's like, oh boy, you know, that's a huge risk. But he ended up getting like 130 copies. And I went yesterday, so that was Thursday. He got them on Tuesday, but stocked them on, you know, sold them on Wednesday. he sold 130 copies of that, and he had one box customer that isn't that reliable, so in order to have it, some on the shelf, he had to take that person's copies just to put them on the shelf. And he had like four different covers, not the best ones, but all the best ones were taken. He had the main cover is the one he had the most of, and then he had some of the variants, but you know, the 40s and the 30s and the 60s, the ones that I think are the best were taken. The Steranko one wasn't that great. You know, I had heard, get the Steranko one. I didn't think it was that good, to tell you the truth. That was the biggest disappointment of the covers, I thought. Like, with my expectations really, really high. But yeah, I think it's really cool because if you sell that many books, it's got to be good for the shop. And it's got to be good for DC that they hype something like this and that people are interested in it. It's very cool. So what do we got here? Let's see. We got for the week of... It seems like a lot, but it's not a lot. I just wrote a lot of notes. June 5th through June 12th of 2017. We're starting at the bottom. We only had 36 books that week. One Valiant, 19 Marvel. I think this is when I started to go on the Marvel kick. Like, I think this is about the time that I decided, hey, I'm not going to keep up with DC. I'm going to read a lot more Marvel. And just see where it goes from there. And I've been pretty much jumping all over the place lately. I haven't gotten motivated to read a lot of DC. Don't know why that is. I just think I needed a change. And it's a welcome change because I've been enjoying a lot of the Marvel stuff and the independent stuff that I've been reading and a lot of back issue stuff. So, starting at the 3 out of 5s, this was an Alterna week, and I read Lilith Dark, and this is about a young girl that lives in a dream world, but that world is coming alive, maybe? Another 3 out of 5 was Amazing Age, and 3 out of 5 means I liked it. I didn't really like it, but I just liked it. Amazing Age number one, the kids early on are friends, and one of them writes a comic about them. One kid loses his father, and they go separate ways, only to find the comics coming alive and becoming part of reality. That actually sounds like a better premise than what I read. The 4 out of 5s now, there were 2 4 out of 5s from Alterna, even though they were at the bottom. We had Croak, a horror story about camping. One female kills another male when they're trying to scare her, and an alien bird. There's alien birds in this thing that are like creatures that they're trying to kill them. I gotta finish that because I like the horror genre and see where that goes. I think the alien piece, I liked it more before they introduced the aliens, like just as a suspenseful slasher. Then we got Adam Wreck. This is a family exploring space, and the kid is really bored because nothing ever happens. But they run into a space pirate, and the parents escape pod him to a planet where he meets a bounty hunter of sorts. He wants to get back to his family, so he lies to the bounty hunter that saved his life earlier. That was pretty fun. It was like a Swiss Family Robinson Lost in Space type thing. I enjoyed that one. We have Venom number 4 and 6 and number 150. This is the climax of Lee. You got to remember, this is the Venom that nobody knows, the cop. Lee losing the suit as Spider-Man Peter Parker coaxes it off of him. She'll takes it, but Eddie Brock reunites with the Symbionite and is killing people that changed when it was on Lee's. I'm sorry. It was on Lee Venom wanted to do good. Okay, so what I meant by that is when it was on Lee, the Venom Symbionite wanted to do good, but it seems to like. When it was on Lee, the Symbionite wanted to do good, but when it was on Eddie Brock, it wanted to do bad. So it seems to focus on what your intent is. Lee didn't last very long. Generation X, number 1, volume 2. A new school, embassy being run by Kitty Pryde. New students show up, and so do the Redeemers, which are the bad guys. We have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 10. Hema saved by Deathlok, the Deathlok virus. Coulson becomes an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. again after the Civil War II crisis ended because he was kicked out of S.H.I.E.L.D. We had Wonder Woman 96 through 100, Volume 2. This is protecting a woman against her husband who is a gangster with the white musician. Joker uses the venom, the Joker venom, on Wonder Woman, but she calls upon the god Pan to get rid of it. Artemis, Wonder Woman fights Diana. This is when Wonder Woman's in the biker shorts, if you remember, and Artemis is in the Wonder Woman garment, and really says she did a bad job of being Wonder Woman. So that's Artemis giving Diana some shit. Diana punches her through several buildings. It's the death of Artemis. Julia and a friend start to heal because of Diana. Diana confronts her mom and why she rehosted the tournament to protect her. The white magician turned into a beast. So that was the Brian Bolan covers too on Wonder Woman, which are really popular. We have Wonder Woman 101. John Byrne appears in. This is a John Byrne issue when he took over Wonder Woman. She appears in Gateway City, and there's a lot of crime with advanced weapons. Her and her detective find the apocalyptic tunnel, and Darkseid is underneath in a bar. So that was an interesting start, except I never liked that detective guy. He just looks really scrawny. I didn't like the way he was drawn. I didn't like his character. A good issue, and it's collected in the Burn collection, so I think volume 2 is coming out in hardcover. I own all these issues. I mean, everything that I've read I own in singles, as well as I have some in I double dip on. We have Daredevil 16 through 20. This is like the fourth volume or whatever volume it is when Charles Soule was on it. We have Faster Than a Speeding Bullet, He Defeats Bullseye, A Story Behind How People Forget Daredevil and Matt Murdock Were the Same Person, He Confides in a Priest, Purple Man Wants to Destroy the World and Can With the Help of Capturing the Purple Kids. That's interesting. He had the Purple Kids. Daredevil saves him by being stronger and saves the kids. They grant him his secret identity back. That's how he now Matt Murdock isn't Daredevil, the Purple Kids. Without him knowing, he only tells Foggy, who's mad, and the priest, his girlfriend from the raid run. He goes not to tell even. He chose not to tell her, even though he loves her. That's my crappy writing and typing. Hulk 3 and 4, this is the She-Hulk issues. Current volume, but I think this one's over. It became She-Hulk when they did the renumbering recently. Patsy Walker confronts her friend only to be pushed away. When landlord dies, cop investigate the entity. Jennifer infatuated with Tennant because her history reminds her of what is going on with her. Like, she's like rolling in a paranoid state. Jennifer visits the Tennant, Maisie Bruin, to tell her she is being evicted and the entity cuts loose. Flashback to her hospital stay, and she's visited by Captain Marvel and she sees the ghost of Bruce. She turns to the Hulk. It took her a while to turn to the Hulk because, this is issues 3 and 6. Jennifer hulks out and defeats her fear monster. Mace is arrested. Disappointed with the ending, also had a flashback with Bruce. So I was more copacetic with it early on. We have Clone Conspiracy Omega number 1. And this is the mini series, and I've enjoyed the Clone Conspiracy, the Clone Saga. I'm loving the hell out of it right now. So we have the aftermath of the Clone Conspiracy. A lot of people saved by Webware, but the company is in shambles. Kingpin offers up a disc. Jackal not dead, but gets a loan from a doctor. Peter Parker threatened by lawsuits. Rhino goes to get healed, but is in deep depression from losing his love. So that was Omega. Then we have Clone Conspiracy 5 and 6. This has Chang art. I said it was totally awesome. Kane is imprisoned. Carrion virus infects the clones and humans at an accelerated rate when Doc Ock flips. Gwen sacrifices herself for Peter. Anna Marie comes up with the cure. So a lot of callbacks to the original Clone Saga. Then we get into the 5 out of 5s. We have Inhumans versus X-Men 5 and 6. We have Moon Girl and Forge in the process of rebuilding a contraption to contain the Terrigen Cloud. Havoc lets Medusa and the Inhumans take Black Bolt. Karnak escapes from Jean and Phantom X. Colossus defeats Gorgon. The X-Men attack the young Inhumans and X-Men. There's a huge battle. Medusa, with the help of Forge and Moon Girl, destroy the Terrigen Cloud. Lies of Emma Frost are told, and she escapes with Havoc, even though he does not want to help her. He only does it because of his brother. Discovered Black Bolt did not kill Cyclops. And that was Emma Frost, like, masking that. I love that fucking series. That was a good one. And it's not because the previous stuff was bad. You know who you are. It's because I love comics that I say I love. It's not because I am feeling sympathetic towards a writer or I not feeling it. When I say I love something, I love it. And just because you don't love it doesn't mean you have to give me shit. I have different experiences. Maybe I came home from a bad day at work and I absolutely loved it. It's what strikes my emotion, and I don't really care if somebody hates it. You just don't need to come and say you guess why I like something. Don't guess why I like something. I just do. Injustice Gods Among Us, Year 3, 8 through 10. Wonder Woman puts the beat down on Sinestro, takes the yellow ring off of Superman. Spectre tells Superman that they're in the Tower of Fate. It's an invasion. Constantine brings Trigon when the Tower of Fate is invaded. Sinestro kills Clarion, which in turn kills Detective Chimp. The Spectre turns out to be Mixopidolic. It's Mixopidolic versus Trigon. The battle continues in the House of Mystery. Swamp Thing enters the fray on Superman's side. It's a bang-up fest in the magic world. It's really interesting. I like the way they use Detective Chimp in that book, too. Britannia, Who We Are About to Die, number 2. This one was, like, very mediocre, the first volume, but the second volume really clicked for me. And I don't think I finished it. I need to finish it. More kids of rich Romans are dying. Our detective visits the gladiator woman and she attacks him. Nero has them both in the Colosseum fighting together against an army of fighters. So they introduce that new woman gladiator, which is really interesting. We have Savage Dragon 1 through 3. This is a reread. I own all of the Savage Dragon comics. I don't own all the variants. Like, there's a mini comic and a couple other variants I'd like to get. But I do own all of the singles. And I think what happened is I bought the Savage Dragon archives in black and white digitally. God, I wish the archives were in color, though. You talk about books that really, you know, like some of the war books, I don't so much mind. Like when I read Sergeant Rock or some horror book, I don't necessarily mind that they're in black and white. But Savage Dragon, there's so much color and there's so much things that are strikingly part of the color that the archives don't work as well, but this is still a 5 out of 5 because I personally just love Savage Dragon. Savage Dragon, Freak Force, Dynamic Deadly Duo, any of those books that came out of the Eric Larson world, they just really clicked with me. That was my Image title, even above Spawn. I think the way the creators worked for me, it was probably Eric Larson was first. Todd McFarlane was second. Jim Lee was third. Rob Liefeld was fourth. Silvestri was before Liefeld. Sorry, the Top Cow stuff. And then fifth was Liefeld. And six was Valentino, even though he didn't produce a lot of stuff. But I did really like Shadowhawk. And then if you count Portasio, Wetworks, I never really got into that, but I do want to revisit it. I am excited to revisit it. So Savage Dragon 1 through 3 was a mini-series before the ongoing. And he wakes up in a burning field, which plays a big part in the entire series. With no memory of his identity, a cop offers him help through a relative who's killed, and Savage Dragon becomes a cop after Super Patriot and Mighty Man are killed. So he reluctantly did. A new Super Patriot arrives and kills everyone bad, and the Vicious Circle and Overlord are the bad guys. So, really cool. 5 out of 5. I loved it. Ones I loved, I versus X, 5 and 6. Injustice Gods Among Us, Year 3, number 8 through 10. Britannia, We Who Are About to Die, number 2. Savage Dragon, number 1 through 3. The first volume, miniseries. Reread on that one. Everything else was a first-time read. Yeah. Oh, except for the Wonder Woman's. I read the Wonder Woman 96 through 101 had before, and this was like just a revisit. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. The next questions, I have a lot of questions stacked up, so don't worry, they're coming. These are two episodes I had already recorded in advance, and I'm going to release this one with the weekly reads. And I want to thank you for listening after I edit my sneezes out. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You could send me email on questions, comments, or recommendations. Even though I'm a mood reader, I will read your recommendation and see if I'm in the mood to do it. At Mike Myers Brunch on the Twitter, you can always tweet me. I always check it daily. You can go to geekbrunchpodcast.com and see all the episode threads there. And they, if you're looking at the history, geekbrunchpodcast.com has every episode. If you look at iTunes, it doesn't. It keeps like the last 50. That's just the way Derek set it up. So if you want to go back to the archives, you go to the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com. On the Facebook, it's Geek Brunch Podcast. You click the like button. You can follow all the episode threads there. Really small community there. It'd be nice to grow it. Maybe people are leaving Facebook because of all the shit that went down. I don't know. I'll still use it. I still like it. It's just a little bit smaller of a community there. It's interesting, though. I never put anything out there that I'm not afraid to share. And I've also, on Facebook, I personally don't send. When I first joined Facebook, I thought it was cool just to do friend requests of people that I think had things in common. But more so now, I'd rather guide them to my page or my Twitter account than to my personal Facebook account. So I only accept pretty much people I know or have met or talked to on Facebook itself. So thank you for listening, and we'll catch you later, alligator. Bye-bye.